Welcome back to News and Views. As everyone knows, healthcare is on the horizon for everybody. It's on one of the hot button topics. So the President of the United States made some promises that I don't think he could keep. In fact, we're finding out that he couldn't keep them. Some policies were canceled. Some rules were set in place that said, you know what, you have to have A, B, C, D, and E. And some of the policies didn't meet their criteria. The people that manage those policies, one of the individuals we're going to visit with in just a little bit, have to meet the criteria of the law. Then they sit down and they do actuarial data, and they say, okay, well, what's our risk? What's our exposure here? You know, how do we make this thing work so that we're not going broke while we're providing health insurance? Then the president comes back out and says, well, I want a reprieve on this. The North Dakota Insurance Commissioner comes out, doesn't use Blue Cross and Blue Shield as kind of the poster child, in my personal opinion, as he should have, for North Dakota's page. Now, I'm not going to get Paul Von Ebers involved in this, but I think that the insurance department itself really dropped the ball on the page. But here's the big thing. Here's the big thing. You know, people who are criticizing the Blues for saying, well, we can't extend this policy, I want to hear from them. I want to hear from Paul. I want to hear from somebody who has never been afraid to come on air and tell Blue Cross and Blue Shield, who is the number one provider in this state and has been for a long time, what their situation is. And so he's kind enough to come on with us now. Paul Von Ebers, the boss of Blue Cross Blue Shield, good to have you on News and Views. Are you there, Paul?
Yes, Joel, I'm here. I'm sorry, I had the phone on mute. Thank you for having me on. I'm really glad, as always, to have the opportunity to be able to come on air and talk to you and talk to your listeners about important issues of healthcare.
You understand the actuarial side of this industry. I get that. And you understand all of it, or you wouldn't have the job you have. So when the president came out and said, you know what, I'm going to go back and tell people that, yes, they can, in fact, keep those policies that are being canceled, and we'll get a one-year reprieve on that, what was your reaction? What did you think of instantly when you heard him say that?
Yeah, you know, my reaction, first of all, was, you know, of course we would like to accommodate what our individual customers want. And you know, my first thought was, well, let's try to do that. My second thought was, can we really get it done, and what are the implications going forward? And as we looked into it in more detail and we really kind of dug into what would happen, the difficulty of going along with the president's suggestion became more and more clear. And, you know, the problem, there's a couple of problems. One is that the federal website, as we all know, has had a lot of problems. And as a result, relatively few people have been able to get on the website and sign up for coverage. And that has made it very unclear to us how many new people are going to be coming into the insurance market. And we are concerned, unless we bring everybody into these new products, you know, this is the law, and the president was giving a one-year grace period, but we're eventually going to have to get everybody into these new products. And without bringing everybody onto the same product base, we were concerned that the new people coming in, who have, in many cases, not had health insurance before, will be substantially more expensive. And it would really disrupt our whole product and rating structure. We're going to have very little time to figure out what the prices ought to be for 2015. We actually have to submit prices to the federal government for 2015 in April of 2014. So we're going to have very little time to figure out who these people are and what their healthcare needs are. Unless we bring our existing customer base along, we're going to just be shooting in the dark. And there's a real chance that we would end up raising rates more than we would need to, or making some other mistake of that kind.
When the president was going around saying, if you like your existing policy, you can keep your existing policy, did you cringe? Did you know at that time that the president was not telling the whole story?
We certainly knew that the law requires that all products in the marketplace meet certain requirements. And those requirements are, in some aspects, richer benefits than what we were offering before. And so we knew that people were not going to be able to keep every plan out there. So, yes, we did know that. The number of people has changed over time because some folks have decided to keep their old plan through a period of time, being grandfathered is what it's referred to. And some people wanted to change their plan and bought a non-grandfathered plan. And in those cases, the non-grandfathered plan, those now have to meet the market requirements of the law. And so we knew there were going to be some people out there. We did not know how many until earlier this year. In the summer, we had a pretty good estimate of it.
So what percentage of the market is going to lose? Yesterday, I got a call from someone, and he put it as plain as you can, Paul. He said, I was lied to by this president. I was lied to by the people who said I could keep my policy. I had catastrophic health insurance. That's all I needed. I didn't want to be covered for pregnancy. I can't get pregnant. Some of the new criteria that is being asked of me to be covered for, I didn't feel I needed to be covered for, and I feel as though I've been lied to. What percentage of the public that you're trying to serve out there fits into his category, that gentleman who lost his policy yesterday?
Yeah, it's about 7% of our total membership. Okay, so 93% of the people we provide health insurance to are not going to have any change from this. It's 7% of the people that we provide coverage. And, roughly half of those are individual people who buy their own insurance contract with us. Now, it's not as bad as the initial press reports for many people. First of all, there are about 14,500 members who have individual policies with us that would need to make the change. We are estimating that about half of them would be eligible for a federal subsidy. So that's going to dampen down any rate increase that they would receive. So half of them will get a subsidy and will help them make the transition to the new policies. Then some of the people who are not eligible for a subsidy are already holding an individual product that's pretty similar to the new products. And so they'll be able to transition to one of the new products that will be a little richer benefits, but not a lot richer benefits. And there will be an increase in cost, but not a catastrophic increase in cost. And we can also help people, move to a cheaper product that is an approved product if they would like to do that.
The North Dakota's insurance commissioner came out and said that the Blues should extend these policies. Your thoughts on that? I want to give you publicly a chance to respond to what Insurance Commissioner Hamm said.
Well, we certainly understand that the commissioner is looking out for individual consumers, and obviously for an individual consumer, it could be better to stay on the old product. What we had to look at was the overall financial stability of our individual products and, frankly, the overall financial stability of the company in trying to make sure that we served all of our members. We were concerned that by not moving people over to the new products, we would end up losing money on the new products, and that other customers would essentially have to support those products. And we just didn't feel that it was fair to the other members, to the 93% of the people who aren't changing their products, to essentially have them support the 7% through this transition for a one-year period of time. One thing I should also say is that, we do have a product called AffordaBlue, which has been popular. It does not meet the requirements of the new law. We did offer AffordaBlue customers an opportunity to basically sign up for a new version of it. We called it AffordaBlue Plus, and that would have been available from December of this year to December of next year. And we actually got a fairly low uptake on that. So we are trying to accommodate the needs of individual consumers, but we also had to look at all of our membership. We are a membership-driven organization, and we had to make a very difficult decision about what was best for all of our members. And for some relatively small percentage of our members, it may not be as good as other options, but we felt it was the best for our whole book of membership in trying to serve those people.
North Dakota Blue Cross and Blue Shield was used as a tool or an instrument for building healthcare exchanges in other states, not North Dakota, because the North Dakota legislature and the insurance department decided not to go forward with all of that. I wish we had. I wish we had, you know, something like a MinSure that you can look at and say, boy, there are a lot of options available there to at least shop around. Rank North Dakota. Rank the state that you do business in. Rank us in terms of our healthcare exchange, where we're at, and frankly, Paul, for those consumers out there who want to go into an open marketplace and shop around, you know, tell them what where we could be in a year or two if we took a more aggressive approach to this.
Yeah. First of all, as you know, as you just said, the state has decided to use the federal exchange, or to let the federal government set up the exchange for North Dakota. And as everybody knows, if you've been reading the newspaper at all, the federal exchange has had a lot of problems. As of yesterday, you know, we heard an announcement that the exchange is working much better, and we are seeing some signs of that as well. So far, we've had very few people sign up through the exchange. I think the number as of yesterday was about 125 people have signed up through the exchange. We certainly are hoping that more North Dakotans are going to be able to use that exchange and get coverage. You know, the roughly 7,000 individuals who have Blue Cross coverage right now that we think are eligible for a subsidy, we'd like all of them to be able to go on the exchange and get that subsidy, and that's the only place you can get the subsidy. So we are hopeful that it's going to get better. We certainly want to help our customers through that process. The biggest issue that we wanted for a state exchange was not necessarily for North Dakota to build the infrastructure. It's very complex. I'll tell you from other work that we're doing, it's an extremely complex process. It's very difficult to put one of these exchanges together. We weren't necessarily saying that the state should build their own exchange, but we do think it would be good to have local decision-making. There are a number of decisions that can be made about how these marketplaces are structured. You know, what's the policy? Who's allowed on the exchange? What kind of products are acceptable? Those kinds of decisions, we really think that North Dakotans should make those decisions, and we would still be in favor of a process for the state to eventually, you know, use some proven technology from somewhere else. Don't build it from scratch. If the federal exchange gets better, there is an opportunity to do a partnership with the federal exchange, or we may be able to piggyback on another state's exchange if we saw one that was working particularly well. But the key thing is to get decision-making in the state, not necessarily to build the software system ourselves.
Where's the lead in other states coming from there, Paul? Does it come from their insurance departments? Does it come from their legislatures? Does it come from their governors? I mean, if North Dakotans want an active exchange that gives them more options, where do they need to go to start the fire here compared to what other states have done?
Well, the legislature would have to approve it. And you know, the big concern here in North Dakota was what could be the cost of building this exchange. And the federal government had money available to, you know, for the first round. It's less clear if North Dakota started now whether there'd be federal money available. So, as I said, we would either have to piggyback on somebody else's technology that's already built.
Yeah.
Or we might have to find a more private market approach, you know, some private organization that would be willing to set it up in return for, you know, getting some revenue to run it.
I get you.
But
Paul,
the legislature would have to approve it.
Paul Von Ebers, the boss of Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Dakota, is our guest. Paul, I have a couple of things that people wanted me to share with you, and I want to get your take on. One says, 125 North Dakota residents signed up for Obamacare in total so far. That's all you really need to know, isn't it? No one wants it. It's not going to work. What a waste of our tax money. Your thoughts on that, Paul?
Well, you know, we don't think that the 125 is going to be the ultimate number, and that's the number of people who have signed up with us. You know, there are a couple of other health plans on the exchange, and we don't know their numbers. The other issue is that the website problems have really made it very difficult, and as the press came out with information on the website problems, I think a lot of people have just not gone there yet. You know, hopefully the major problems on the federal website are fixed now, and hopefully people will be able to use that. We certainly, you know, there's been a lot of political debate over the law, and we just aren't getting involved in that political debate. It is the law, and there are subsidies available to people, and so if we have customers who have subsidies available to them, we want to make sure they get those subsidies.
I'm gonna test you on whether or not you're gonna get involved in that political debate, because I think this question you're not gonna want to answer.
You know, Joel, I always know if I come on your show, you're not gonna just give me an easy pass. So go, you know, go ahead.
If Kathleen Sebelius, who was in charge of this rollout, worked for you, would she be fired?
Oh, you know, I really can't answer that question. I mean, and it's not just because it's a political question. I would never judge somebody else's performance from afar. You just can't do that. You know, I mean,
I think it's a fair question, though. I really do. The rollout mattered so much in all of this. Paul, you give us access. You do. And I thank you for that, sir. I hope that the insurance department starts listening to you. I hope that the nation starts listening to you more. I appreciate you coming on News and News today.
I'm always happy to come on anytime you'd like me to.
You bet. Paul Von Ebers with North Dakota Blue Cross Blue Shield.